Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening, and I hope you can even join us tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air here tonight. And of course, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly learn more about me and about the program. You can listen to past programs there. And you can also connect with our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we'll have more information about that later in the program as well, but you can find us on there all at livewithpastoral.com, and certainly invite you to visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and I invite you to come if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God. I was preaching this morning. I'm preaching through the Gospel of John, and we're in John chapter 3, actually just finishing that up, getting ready to go into John chapter 4. And then, of course, on Sunday nights, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs, and we just started Proverbs chapter 24 last week. And you know, one of the things that's been a challenge preaching through the book of Proverbs is there are certain parts of the Bible that I like to spend more time on because of my background and my interests. I like to spend more time with looking at some of the things that has to do with Bible prophecy and how things, current events, are relating to that, and of course creation and versus evolution and a number of things like that that I like to concentrate on. But Proverbs has forced me to have to deal with some of the portions I'm not as interested in getting into, and it gets some of the other stuff that I like as well. But that's one of the reasons why the Bible tells us that we're to preach not just what we want from the Word of God, but the entirety of the Word, the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so I find preaching through books works for me because it makes me preach on the parts of the Bible that I might avoid otherwise. Otherwise, I just pick maybe three, four, half a dozen things that are my favorite areas and concentrate on them, and that's about all I'd ever get to. I'd always have a convenient reason for not getting into some of the areas that I'm not as comfortable preaching on or interested in preaching on. But by preaching through books of the Bible, it forces me to have to preach the entirety of the Word of God rather than just what I want to preach. And I found that over the years doing this, that more often than not, rather than trying to come up with special messages and special services, the passage that we're at frequently dovetails with things that are happening in the world or something. So if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, and I talk about the Word of God, we stick with the King James Version of the Bible. We have a lot of reasons for doing that, and we're glad to share those reasons with you, not the least of which is because the Word of God is God's Word preserved in the English language, and it's different than the New International Version, New American Standard Version, the Today's English Version, the whatever version, because those are based on the Alexandrian stream of manuscripts, whereas the King James Bible is based on the Antiochian stream. If you don't know the difference between the two streams, I'd invite you to do some research. I was a guy who was using the New American Standard until somebody pointed this out to me, and when I saw that the Alexandrian stream of manuscripts are those that underlie the New American Standard and all of the modern versions, including the New King James, by the way, and that they stem from Alexandria, Egypt, where a guy by the name of Origen openly questioned and disagreed with many of the fundamental doctrines of the faith, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection, the blood atonement, and many other things. And because of that, he corrupted the text that he was having his students copy, because that's what they did. They copied the scriptures in order to learn the scriptures, and he made corrections and deletions, and they copied them in those manuscripts. That's why thousands and thousands of words are missing from the modern versions as compared to King James. King James, on the other hand, goes back to the Alexandrian text family, stream of manuscripts. It goes back to to Antioch in Syria, where, of course, if you remember your Bible, the Apostle Paul went out from there in his first two missionary journeys, and the Bible says that they were first called Christians at Antioch because of their witness for Christ. And so there's a godly line of manuscripts represented by the Antiochian stream, and an ungodly worldly line represented by the Alexandrian stream. And when I saw that I had a Bible that was based on the ungodly worldly stream of manuscripts, didn't matter how technically accurate it may have been produced, it was produced from the wrong stream, a polluted stream. And I wanted the pure words of God in the English language, so I dipped into the Antiochian stream, and I've not left it ever since. And I encourage you, get into the Antiochian stream, get a King James Bible, and start reading it. You don't have to become a Greek or Hebrew scholar in order to understand the scriptures. Knowing Greek and Hebrew might help you on some things, but if you get a good King James Bible, you know, I've seen kids in grade school, third and fourth grade kids, that can understand it better than some of these people who say, oh, it's too difficult to understand. You know, a governor in the King James is so difficult as composed to satrap in some of the modern versions, isn't it? But anyway, that's not the bulk of my topic. Just kind of got onto that little spiel right there as we get started. But just want to encourage you, get into the Bible, the King James version of the Bible, and you can find some stuff, some resources on that if you go to livewithpastoral.com. And there's other articles and things that are there dealing with some of the things that are happening in the world right now. And we are going to touch on some of those things here in the program tonight. Certainly a call to action. If you value the lives of unborn children in Ohio, we'll be talking about that. If you value the lives and well-being of young children in Ohio, there's some other things that are going on, and we have a caller calling in who wants to update us on some of those things, and we've got John Brown calling back here tonight. And John Brown, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call again.
All right, good evening. I want to start it this way. I wish I didn't have to, but
yeah, we've got our hands full in this state. The devil's on a rampage for sure. Because our people have so many irons in the fire right now. But thank you for taking my call again. And as you said, there's not only do we have the make or break moment with the, you know, pro-life issue in this state, we also have an ongoing thing that the demonic left is trying to normalize homosexual men in immodest imitation of female outfits, performing and talking about their homosexuality in front of small children.
You know, and that's what gets me. What is it that, I think you and I know the answer, and many of our listeners do, but what is it, so this is more of a rhetorical question, what is it that causes a grown man to have a desire to dress in a caricature of a woman and in a very lewd fashion, and then basically, I'm trying to phrase this a little bit decently, essentially putting his posterior in the faces of young children and demanding that you and I call that normal, acceptable, and good for that child to have the barely covered derriere of a grown man dressed in women's attire shaking in his face? What prompts that?
Well, we both know that this is a spiritual issue. Ultimately.
Exactly.
But to a, if there were any lefties that would hear our conversation, they would say, well, I've been to these events for children, and they're not all doing that. Yes, I understand. Not necessarily every children's drag story hour has explicit sexual performances. The very idea is a horrific abomination. Now, on that note, I have, and, you know, if I were, you know, meet people in person, I could easily show them many, many instances of explicit sexual performances by these drag story hour people in the presence of small children. I mean, so they can't say, well, it's not happening. It is happening. I have video proof of it.
Oh, and you know, when you see parents, no less, giving their child money and pushing them forward where there's a guy in a G-string dancing and shaking his backside in front of the child, and the parents are telling him to go and slip that money into his G-string. I mean, a lot of people are probably thinking, ah, that can't happen. This happens, and they're saying this is good and wholesome.
Well, you know, even our filthy illegitimate administration is, I don't want to go too far afield there, but our filthy administration is using your government tax dollars to fund this. The United States Air Force has, I can't remember exactly what's happened, but it has happened recently. The U.S. Air Force has paid drag queens to perform for military children's families on bases, on air, military property. And our United States Navy our military has hired several culturally degenerate influences. They have these degenerate urban style rap performers that are active duty Army recruiters, but they also have the Navy has an active duty sailor, at least one. There are several that I believe, but I can know for sure that they've hired one active duty sailor. And it seems like his official job in the Navy is to be a drag queen and perform as a drag queen.
Well, and to recruit
his job is the
to
Navy.
Recruit people.
Yeah, like it's
a
not
drag queen recruit
off base. It's his job.
Yeah, you know, and think about this: a drag queen recruiter. And part of that, and they wonder why recruitment in the military is down. I think most of the across the services, it's less than 50%. They're meeting less than 50% of their goals. And as a veteran and a veteran of the United States Air Force, I think that gives me the right. You know, we live in this day. Well, you can't talk about that or have an opinion unless you have been there. Well, I've been there. I mean, I'm a veteran of the United States Air Force. I can talk about this, and I will delegate you as my representative to talk about this as well. So I think I can do that too. But yeah, but think about it. You know, the idea. We've come from the homosexuality would be cause for dismissal from the military. When I was in the 1980s, we had a group of people at the base that I was stationed at it was four guys and they were living together and basically they were two couples. And it came to light and they lost their security clearances. They were put in custody and eventually they were thrown out of the Air Force. And we had to send them home from overseas and that was that. Now we went from that in the 80s to the 90s with Bill Clinton to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, of course, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was Clinton's gift to the homosexual community to say, well, we can allow homosexuals in the military now. It's not grounds for dismissal. Just don't tell anybody that you are, and nobody's going to ask you if you are. Keep it to yourself, and you'll be okay. Then we went from that to when Biden came in office to Don't Ask, Don't Tell somehow was construed now as a discriminatory policy by right-wing Republicans, even though it came from the left-wing Clinton White House. And so now the homosexuals were able to serve openly, and then we went from there to that was the Obama administration. I think I might have said Biden. That was the Obama administration. Now we have the Biden administration that's brought transgendered into the military, and that's his gift to that community, because now our tax dollars are not only paying for these drag queens things, events and all, but it's also paying for the surgeries and the therapies and all of that. Meanwhile, a person with flat feet, I had a friend I graduated from high school with, he tried to go in the Navy, and he was let go because he had some problems with the arches in his feet, and he wasn't able to march and stand sufficiently, so they gave him a medical discharge from basic training. People with asthma weren't allowed in because you're not considered deployable, because you might have to take an inhaler with you and things like that, and yet, here comes these transgendered people that we're going to foot the bill for all of their surgery, all of their drug therapy, hormone therapy, puberty blockers, whatever they're getting, and the maiming and removing of healthy body parts. And during all that time, they're not deployable because they're on constant medications, constant medical supervision, and constantly recovering from if they're having the surgeries. And yet somehow they're considered deployable and somebody with asthma isn't. There's no sense there, is there?
Well, you know, even though that's not the topic of my call tonight, it seems as if somebody, you know, or some group of people high up in our country is deliberately trying to not only antagonize our enemies into attacking us, but at the same time weaken our country both domestically and militarily.
Yes.
And they're doing a pretty good job of it.
Yes, destroying our military, and that's what they're doing. But again, like I said, we digress from your call, but getting back to your call, we don't want to run out of time. We want to get to that as well. I could spend more time talking about some of these other things. But yeah, we're talking about the threat of these drag queen story hours and the corruption of children. And there's reasons why, and this is something I had started to mention earlier, there's reasons why you cannot take your 6-year-old or 8-year-old son to bar featuring women dressed scantily and send your underage son up and say, son, here's a $5 bill. Go tuck it in her G-string as she's, you know, gyrating in front of you. You can't do that. They're not allowed in there. And yet if it's a man dressed like a woman, oh, it's a wholesome event all of a sudden. So what's happening?
Well, you know, they're obviously trying to ruin the next generation of America, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly tolerant left, which, of course, we both know that the left never meant the whole tolerant judge not thing. That was just to get well-meaning conservatives to let their guard down while they took over the country. But the left, they love, you know, they're masters of hypocrisy. They claim that, you know, Bible-believing homeschoolers are indoctrinating children, and they let me read the this, of course, this event that we're speaking of is this Saturday, this coming Saturday, May 13th, at Near West Theater on 6702 Detroit Avenue in Cleveland. That's this Saturday, May 13th, 6702 Detroit Avenue. It's the Near West Theater. I don't know that that's quite Lakewood. It's like kind of between, you know, it's the Ohio City, Lakewood area, West Cleveland, the Near West Theater. And this is like the third or fourth one of these that they've had. I'll read you verbatim some of their event information right from the website, from the theater's website. And you'll talk about, you know, they want to talk about us brainwashing children. It says, Cleveland's tallest drag entertainer will read a selection of stories to the group and lead sing-alongs that share messages of love and inclusivity. Plus, there's usually dancing and glitter and crafting. We create a welcoming environment where aspiring readers can celebrate diversity and inclusion and break the stigma around harmful gender stereotypes through exposure to LGBTQ plus role models. This program is ideal for ages 3 to 8 and their families. I mean, they're not even hiding it anymore. They openly admit, yeah, we want to brainwash these kids and make them think this is a healthy lifestyle.
Oh, you're right. It is a battle for the children, for the minds, hearts and minds of our children. You know, the Soviet Union back in the Cold War days recognized that, and they spent a great deal of money gaining control of our educational institutions. They started with higher education and a special emphasis on journalism schools and education schools, and so that they could lay the groundwork for controlling our media and controlling what's taught in the lower education rungs. Once you train the teachers to teach what you want, then the teachers begin instructing the children. And that's why when you look at any of these groups that took over, whether it was the communists in Russia or even Hitler when he took over the National Socialist Party, which was not a right-wing group, it was a communist group, a National Socialist Party. You remember they had the Hitler Youth, and you had I forget the name for those in the Soviet Union, but they went for the youth. When they took over the communist revolution in Hungary, they had a youth brigade there of sorts as well. And it's this constant desire to get a hold of the hearts and the minds of the youth, because, you know, us older people are on the way out. If they can get these younger people that are coming up and move their hearts and minds to be open and accepting, and not merely tolerant, but accepting and even endorsing these things, then they know that they're succeeding.
Yeah, well, and largely they are succeeding. Now, I know some of our readers, who wouldn't be necessarily living, you know, in downtown Cleveland area, they say, "Oh, that's Cleveland. That's a lost cause." What did we this stuff has been going on in leftist, miserable cities for several years now. And at first it was, you know, San Francisco and Portland, and then it was Chicago and L.A. and New York, and then it was Columbus and Cleveland, but now look what happened in Wadsworth a couple months ago. And by
yes.
the way, that wicked man who is behind that one in Wadsworth has already announced his intentions. He's going to be doing it again. And I've read our Christian, fellow Christian activists around the world, around the country, have exposed that there's many, many dozens and dozens of these events happening in small towns. They're deliberately trying to break the small towns. They are never content. The left is never content to just let, you know, here, you do your thing in the cities, we'll do our thing in the small towns. The leftists are never content. They are always trying to surge forward. We either put them on the defensive on their territory, or they'll be attacking us in ours. And besides that, didn't Christ die for those children in the city?
Well, absolutely.
I mean, their souls matter too. You know,
absolutely.
We need to not just let it go because it's Cleveland.
Yeah, and people would say, well, you know, live and let live. That's fine. But the problem is, we can have that attitude, but they don't. They do not.
Well, and secondly, show me that in the Bible.
I know. I'm saying I'm not endorsing the attitude, but I'm just saying people who try to say. In fact, that reminded me. There's a scale, the Riddle scale or Riddell scale. It's a scale on how homophobic or somebody is or isn't, and this is actually widely used across the nation, and. In the scale, if you are in the range where you say, well, you're tolerant of this act of these types of activities and things, you're still classed as homophobic behavior. Tolerance is classed as homophobic. And of course, the transgender community has embraced the same thing, too. If you're saying, well, I'm tolerant of them, as long as they do their thing and don't involve me, I can tolerate it, you're still transphobic. You know, using the basis of the Riddle scale. In order to cease being homophobic, you have to accept and then preferably endorse, and then, of course, hopefully affirm these behaviors. And the transgenders are adopting the same language. So if you're not accepting, endorsing, and affirming these things, you're transphobic. And so they drop this line out there, transphobic, and that's supposed to make you scared and say, well, I can't just be tolerant anymore. I have to accept them for who they are and even maybe endorse what they're doing. And that's the end game, isn't it? To get us to endorse and celebrate their sin. And kind of reminds me the end of Romans chapter 1. I was just thinking of this, or I had my Bible open to it already. But let me read the end of Romans chapter 1 when we think about the manner of depravity that is talked about there. But he comes to the end of it, and he says, who knowing the judgment of God, this is Romans 1, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, and then this is what he says at the end, but have pleasure in them that do them. And they want you to have pleasure in them that do them as well. Live and let live does not work when the other side won't do it. They want you to, but they don't. But anyway, what's your event again that you're talking about and what people can do?
We are going to organize primarily a Christian biblical witness, but we welcome, you know, other people, our fellow concerned patriots who might not necessarily be Bible-believing Christians, you know. There might be an assortment of groups there, and of course, it's a public event. We have no idea and no control over who else shows up. So, I just want people to understand that we have no control. Like, you know, there are some kind of crazy people who showed up at the one in Wadsworth, and of course, we had no control over that and didn't know they were coming. But we are going to protest outside of the Near West Theater on Saturday, May 13th. This Saturday, May 13th. We're asking people to get there around 10, or just a couple minutes before, a couple minutes after. If you can only come later, you know, we're probably going to be out there. I think their website, the Near West Theater website, I believe says this is, they say it lasts about an hour, but they have like 11 to 1 blocked off, you know, on their calendar for it. So our flyers and everything say 10 to 1:30. I don't know that we'll be out there that long. I don't want to be out there any longer than we have to, because in our experience, the longer we stand out there, the crazier the enemy gets. We have some measures in place to attempt to ensure our physical and legal safety. And that's, you know, people who can't come, well, even if you can come, please, please, please pray hard for our people's physical and legal safety, and that we have some sort of spiritual impact. It's not just for the enemy. People say, well, you're not going to convince those people. You know what? We might not. But you know how many times I've heard my lost coworkers saying, yeah, these Christians claim to believe all this. Why aren't they saying anything? Why aren't they standing up? You know, people walking by, they say, you know, they see us. We say, we're just, you know, a group of Christians standing up against this evil. And they say, well, they say, amen, or, you know, that's good. That's what you should be doing. You know, even people who don't necessarily think and believe like we do, when they see Christians out there, obeying the book they claim to believe is from directly from God. It's a good gospel witness. And it's not just for the enemy. I don't know that we'll convince very many of them. We hope so. We pray that God softens their hearts. But all we can do is witness. We have no control over the response of people's hearts.
Well, and it may well be that you reach some of the people who are passersby who are looking at it, trying to figure out what to make of it. Hey, we've got about just over a minute left here before the break. Final information you want to give before we go to the break?
Yep. So that, again, we're protesting a pedophile story hour, drag queen story hour at the Near West Theater. The Near West Theater, 6702 Detroit Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio, 44102. This Saturday, May 13th. From around 10 to probably around 1 or so, we have signs and banners and things. You're welcome to use ours or bring your own. Please join us, and please, please pray. because the devil's on a rampage. Pastor, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for giving me so much of your time.
Well, thank you, John Brown, for calling and letting people know what's happening and what people can do. And if they can't show up, they can certainly pray, as you said, and we'll be praying for you and hopefully make a difference here at least a little bit. But thank you again for the call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We're going to take a break here in just a little bit. There's the music kicking in. And we're going to be talking about some other things. We've got some callers waiting for us, but I also want to give you some information about the abortion amendment and the House Joint Resolution 1 and the situation that's important coming up this week. So stay tuned and join us next time. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and be with you until midnight tonight. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And we're going to be touching on a couple of things here as we get going. Also got some callers lined up. Our number is to give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can certainly find out more about me, more about the program, listen to past programs there. There's a variety of articles that are there. The latest article that I have on there is Mental Dysphoria. Put that up here just in the past week or so. And then there's a number of other ones there. And, of course, that one deals with gender dysphoria and a related issue called body identity integrity disorder, where people become convinced that they need to remove perfectly good, healthy body parts. And when people have that, the first reaction is not to remove perfectly good body parts or to prevent them from functioning, but rather to counsel the people and find out what underlying mental or emotional issues are going on. But when it comes to gender dysphoria, where people believe that they have perfectly healthy body parts that need to be removed, all of a sudden you're not supposed to do the counseling to find out what the emotional or mental problems are. You're supposed to validate their desire to remove that. What's the difference between moving basically male or female body parts that are perfectly healthy and functional, as opposed to removing a leg or an arm or eyes that are perfectly healthy and functional? Just that one's politically correct and the other isn't, I suppose. But anyway, you can read about that a little bit. Mental dysphoria at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We're located at 4174 Wheatley Road. We meet in Suite 200. It's a commercial space. Don't look for a building with a steeple or you won't find us. Look for our door, Suite 200, at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. We're right near the entrance to both 77 and 271, right there where they cross in Richfield. And we'd love to have you visit. You can find out more. Click on liveatpastoral.com and you can find out more about that. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And if you give them a call, 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, ask for Gus. Call 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza. Ask for Gus, and he can help you get set up in your own pizza business. It won't be a franchise, but your own business, and he'd love to help you out. So that's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program. And again, our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we had John Brown calling in last time, which prevented me from getting to another very important thing that's happening. We have been talking on this program, also on our Friday afternoon program. We're on every Friday afternoon at 1:30 for half an hour. And we've been talking about this a lot over the last month and a half or so, and that is House General Resolution 1. You say, well, Pastor Al, why are you harping on this so much? We've heard about this. We've heard about this. Well, the reason we're harping on this so much is that this is the make or break week for a decision to be made in the Ohio House of Representatives. It is boiling down this week to one man. One man, that is Speaker Jason Stevens. And God's people, if you value the unborn, the lives of the unborn children here in this state and the future unborn children, let me urge you to pray for this man. Pray for him that God would turn his heart in some way. I got some updates before the program tonight on some things that are happening, and there's a little bit that I can share. One thing I wanted to mention is from what I have heard and what I have seen, it is appearing more and more that Speaker Stevens is dragging his feet, trying to run the clock out. And what I mean is the clock is ticking. If he, Jason Stevens, the Speaker of the Ohio House, does not bring HJR 1 to the floor for a vote this week, this week, Wednesday, at the absolute latest, and that's even pushing it, should have been last week. Tuesday would be better than this Wednesday. But if you care about the lives of unborn children here in the state of Ohio, you need to contact Speaker Stevens' office and urge him, not ask, urge him to put House General Resolution 1, this is the constitutional 60% increase requirement, on the House floor for a vote this week, Monday or Tuesday. It must be done by the 10th, which I believe is Wednesday, and it's got to be done early enough that it can go through all the hoops so that it can be on the ballot in August. Say, well, what's the big hurry? Well, if it's not on the ballot in August, or not done in time to be on the ballot in August, the earliest then that it could be on the ballot is in November. Well, we are on schedule to see, or I should say the left is on schedule to have on the November ballot an abortion amendment, which will turn Ohio overnight, if passed, from a pro-life state to one of the most pro-death states in the country, actually one of the most pro-death locations in the world. It will allow abortion on demand with no interference from the state or anybody else, only the woman and her doctor, basically, up until the time of birth. And this is a serious thing. This will turn Ohio into a pro-death state. And all it will take to pass in November without House General Resolution 1 passing in August, because if House General Resolution 1 passes in August, it will require a 60% minimum vote to change the Ohio Constitution. If not, it'll go under the current law, which means that you need 50% of the vote plus one vote. Now, plus one vote means that the percentage to pass a change to the Ohio Constitution that will take Ohio from being a pro-life state to a pro-death state may only be 50.00001% of the vote. That's all it'll take, 50% plus one vote. And the best opportunity to stop this from happening is to pass House General Resolution 1 in August, because the pro-death camp does not believe that they can get more than 60%. They don't think they'll get much more than 50-some percent. They might get 51, 52, 53%, maybe even 54%, but they don't believe they can reach a 60% cutoff. And so why is it important to contact Speaker Jason Stevens? It's because he is the one man in the state of Ohio that is preventing this from being on the August ballot. One man is preventing a measure that could potentially save the lives of thousands of unborn Ohio children. We need to pray for this man. The Ohio Senate, all the Republicans in the Ohio Senate, a vast majority are for this and have passed it. The majority of the Republicans in the Ohio House are for this. The majority of conservative Republicans across the state are for this. The pro-life community across the state is for this. The governor's office is for this. The secretary of state's office is for this. Do you know who's against this? The pro-death party, the Democrats. And I'm not being hyperbolic when I say the pro-death party. They have incorporated abortion into their party platform. This is the party that wants abortion on demand up until the time of birth. They're the ones who want this. So who is the speaker who is supposed to be a Republican, who we were assured would surprise us with how friendly he is and helpful he is to the conservative pro-life cause in Ohio? Well, guess what? This one man kept this issue, this House General Resolution 1, from being on the ballot this past Tuesday when you went in to vote. It should have been there, and it would have been there had Derek Marin, the rightful person to be in the Speaker's office, been in the Speaker's office. It would have been there, and we would have probably already decided it. Well, he prevented it. He said, it's too soon. And now that they want to put it on the August ballot, He say, "Oh no, that's too much money. It's too much money." Everybody wants it there. The Senate Majority Leader Huffman said, you know, $30 million or whatever to save, you know, millions of unborn children sounds like a good deal to me, and I agree with that. Pray for this man. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Pray that God will turn Jason Stevens' heart. He has said that he's for this House General Resolution 1 and that he is against the abortion amendment. He says that he's pro-life, but he is the one man in the entire state that can make a difference right now. It's in his hand. And we need to pray that God turns his heart and turns it in the right direction to protect life. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We need to pray for this one man, Jason Stevens, and put feet to your prayer, contact his office, and urge him. Don't ask him. Urge him to bring House General Resolution 1 to a vote here Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever he can this week. It's got to be done by Wednesday. If not, well, we'll have to find some fallback positions because this is not going to be what'll do it. So we need to pray that God turns his heart. One man will be responsible if this does not get on the ballot and if the abortion amendment passes in Ohio, turning Ohio from a pro-death state or pro-life state to a pro-death state, it'll be because of the action or rather the inaction of one man. Well, there's a lot more we can talk about that, but we do have other callers calling in. Oh, I was going to mention one thing. I saw that on April 26th, they had put it on the ballot, and Speaker Stevens said that he was going to vote for it. He supported it. He had it on, or not on the ballot, on the House agenda. But here's the thing. If you look at the House agenda, and you can find it online, go to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. And you can click and you can see the calendar and you can see the agenda. And when you look at the agenda, there's the main thing that they want to accomplish that session. And then there's a black line and there's a number of things under the black line. There's a reason that things are under the black line. Well, it's on the agenda, but we don't necessarily know that we'll get to it. And guess what was the very last thing on the agenda? Well, it was House General Resolution number 1. So he could say, well, I put it on the agenda. We just couldn't get to it. No, it's all in the Speaker's hand. He could put it above the black line, and he could call a special session, and we could vote, have them vote on this here so that it'll be passed by May the 10th. If it's not, well, it all comes down to this one man. Pray for him. Contact his office. Go to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. Search for Jason Stevens, the speaker, under the members of the House of Representatives, and click on his page and go to his contact page, and you can just type in a short message there, or you can call him, and all that information is there. Go to Ohio Christian Alliance, ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And you can look at their page. They've got this information on how to contact Jason Stevens there. As you go to their page, let me encourage you to do that. This is the make or break week on this. This is why we've hit it so hard this past month or so, because it all has come down to this week and this one man, Jason Stevens. And we're praying that God will turn his heart. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth whithersoever he will. Pray that God will turn Jason Stevens' heart to protect the unborn children in Ohio. That's his job. If he doesn't do that, who's he working for? Well, he's not working for you and me if you're pro-life. He's working for the pro-death camp. And unfortunately, That's what he appears to be doing. He appears to be running out the clock. There's information out there. It's not publicly available yet, but it indicates that that's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to run the clock out so that this will not be on the August ballot, so that we'll not be in a position to hinder the abortion amendment from becoming the law of the land in Ohio, so that he will not hinder Ohio from going from pro-life to pro-death. One man, Speaker Jason Stevens, pray for him, contact him, and urge him to bring House General Resolution 1 to a vote this week so that it can be taken care of by August 10th. It's got to be in there by Tuesday or Wednesday. That's the absolute latest. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I know we've talked about that a lot, different things, but you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. This is why I'm glad that we have 2 hours now. We can spend more time on some of these things, but we've got Terry calling in, and we're going to grab Terry here. Welcome, Terry, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I know you probably got to get up in the morning, but I'm glad to get you there.
Yeah, my boss hasn't got a hold of me yet, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you on here.
My job.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you on here. So in case you do have to get up in the morning, it'll be a little easier.
Usually he lets me know, but I don't know why, what's going on. But anyway, sometimes he'll let me know right first thing in the morning, but I'd rather know right away so I can
plan your day a little better. Yeah.
I'm just going to get right down to the question that I was going to, I was talking to the Jehovah Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
They were standing outside this mall that I went to.
Right.
And so I had, you know, as soon as I see them, I got to stop, talk to them. And I talked to them for a good 45 minutes or more.
Mm-hmm.
And the one question they asked me is did Jesus pray to himself? And I had this question asked quite a bit, not only from them, but from the Mormons and the Muslims and other groups or religious groups. My answer to them is that Jesus came into the world and humbled himself as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that. They don't understand how, you know, that God sent his only begotten son into the world and he humbled himself as a man. God came in the flesh and dwelt among us. They don't understand that. That's one thing that I mentioned to them.
Right.
And they don't see it.
Well, and when we look at this idea, did Jesus pray to himself? On the one hand, it's easy to say, well, yes, of course he did, because he is God, and he is having a conversation with himself. Doesn't anybody ever talk to themselves? Oh, you don't talk to yourself. That shows it. No, people talk that you have. You think about something, and you're going through the reasons why you should or shouldn't do something. You know, you're basically holding a conversation with yourself. So what's wrong with that? Somebody once said, I like to talk to myself for two reasons. One, I like to talk to an intelligent audience, and the other reason is that I like to listen to an intelligent speaker. But with Jesus, talking to himself is one thing. But here's a more nuanced approach to that, which, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses can't understand, because they don't understand the Trinity, the Bible doctrine of the three in one. Not three gods in committee, not three separate gods in committee, but one God manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, whichever term you prefer. But the reason I mention that is that when we've talked about this before, back in Genesis chapter 1, when God says, let us make man in our image, and then it says he made man in his image, in chapter 2, we see the details where he says he took the dust of the ground, the earth, and he formed the body of Adam. So Adam's body was first formed. Now that body was Adam. It wasn't a separate Adam. It was Adam. It was his body. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And breath is synonymous with spirit. So now there's a body and there's a spirit. And he became a living soul. Now, the soul is that thinking part, the intellect, the emotion, the will, that sort of thing, and that's the soul. So now you have Adam, a picture of the triune God, and the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, what is Adam? He's a triune being himself. He's not God, but he's a picture of God. The God the Son, remember, God takes on physical form, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, the theophanies, the pre-incarnate appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. And then, of course, in the New Testament, the Gospels, Jesus was born. He became a man and dwelt among us, as you were mentioning. And so God the Son is pictured by the body of Adam. Adam the body is a picture of God the Son. And then, of course, Adam received the breath of life, and he's a living spirit. Well, we have God the Holy Spirit. So Adam the Spirit is a picture of God the Spirit, and that leaves the soul left, the mind, the intellect, the will, the emotion, to be the picture of God the Father. So Adam pictures the Holy Trinity in his very being, and you and I do as well today. We are a three-part being. We have a body, which is the picture of God the Son, a spirit, which is a picture of God the Holy Spirit, and a soul, which is a picture of God the Father. And if you get up in the middle of the night and you stub your toe against something, does your toe talk to you?
So
it does pretty loudly, doesn't it?
Did not too long
ago
when I dropped a
5-pound
weight on it.
Yeah. Hey, if you put your hand on a hot stove or picked up a pan that's hot, is your body going to talk to you? You know, we have nerve endings in our body that say, hey, this is too hot. Let go of it immediately.
Exactly.
And so your body is talking to your soul, and you know, your mind is reacting to that, saying, you know, I'm in agreement with what my body is saying. I'm not going to pick that up again. It's too hot. And so your body talks to you all the time. Why would it be strange that God the Son would talk to God the Father? To me, it's not strange at all. It's an illustration of the lack of intellectual depth and understanding of the scripture evidenced in some of these cult groups that try to run that argument that, well, who's Jesus praying to? Is he praying to himself? It's just...
I've been having that happen to me quite a bit lately, people telling me that.
Yeah, ask them if they ever talk to themselves. Ask them if they pick up something hot, if their body ever talks to them. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. And you know what? Our spirit talks to us too, because God's spirit bears witness to our spirit that we're his children when we're saved. And so our spirit reminds us that we're a child of God. So our spirit talks to our soul.
Was my analogy pretty good, though, when I talked to them both?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. But I just wanted to expand on that too, the idea that they just have a complete lack of understanding of what the scripture says. They claim to... What's that?
They asked me another question, too. The question they asked me is, did God die?
Well, you know, Jesus, God the Son, experienced death for us. He did die on the cross because God, death is fundamentally a separation. And again, this is their lack of understanding shown in their question, because Jesus did die on the cross. God did die. But it was only one-third of the being of God. God the Son was separated from God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. That's why he cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from the Father and the Spirit the only time ever. Hey, Terry, we've got the break coming up here in just less than 10 seconds. You want to hold on? All right, stick with us. We got another hour to go.